Okay, we left off yesterday the bottom of Tedemut Bet with the machlokes between Rava and Rav Yosef with regards to whether we say Palgin and Dibura or we do not say Palgin and Dibura. So for instance, Rav Yosef's example is someone who comes along and says Ploni Rav O, the Onso. Then in that case where he says it was an Ones and he does not implicate himself, there he can be Mitzdarif with another aid in order to be Mechayev the one who was roveyah him. On the other hand, if he says lirtzon no, he does it. He says I was a willing participant here. If Yosef says over there, he cannot testify because he is a rasha. If he's a rasha, it says al teshet, right? Rasha aid, and therefore he's precluded himself from being a aid in this case. On the other hand, Rava came along and said no, that since Adam is karov etzel atzmo and Adam in Adam masim etzmo rasha. Right, therefore, we say that we're pagin and dibura. We divide up his words. We believe him with regards to the fact that the person who sodomized him is that statement is true. Whereas the statement about himself, we negate or we preclude him from making such a statement, and therefore he can implicate the other individual, but he cannot implicate himself. So that's what we call pagin and dibura. Now with Pagin and Dibura, just in general, we have to think about Eidut. How does Eidut work? Right? The general Chakir in Eidut is that whether Eidut is simply Gzerat HaKatuv. Gzerat HaKatuv is that when two people show up in Beis Din, that we're Koveya the Din. Right? We establish the Din Alpi Shnei Eidim. That's what the Torah tells us to do. And that's what we do. Two people show up, that's what we do. The other possibility is that there's a certain amount of Nemanut. When two people show up and are consistent in their testimony, then we believe that that is the mitziyut, that they are neman. They are believed to say that we are, that we believe them to say these are the facts now. This is the truth. So those are the two possibilities. And when it comes to Pagin and Dibura, we have an individual here is taking testimony about himself as well as testimony about others. If the question, when we say Pagin and Dibura, what's the problem that the individual has when he says Ein Adam Masim Esim Etzmo Rasha? So again, when Ein Adam Masim Etzmo Rasha, there's two possibilities. One is that we say that he is, as the Gemara, as Rava says right here, is that Adam Krov Etzel Etzmo. A person is a relative. And we know the Gzeret HaKatuv is that relatives cannot be Edim. Just like Moshe and Aaron cannot be Edim. It's a Gzeret HaKatuv. It has nothing to do with Nemanud. They just can't be Edim. So relatives can't be Edim. So he can't be an aid for himself. Or is the problem that Ein Adam Masim Atzmo Rasha? If you're Rasha, you are Pasul Eidut. Why? Because there's some sort of begam in your Nemanut. Right? You're no longer Neman when you are a Rasha. You've done, as we saw yesterday in the Tosfot, you've done certain things that question the veracity of your testimony. We said it has to be Hamas. That's what the position of Rava is in other places. It has to be something where there's theft involved or over the Teavon. Items that make us question whether this person is really going to tell the truth anymore. And that casts aspersions on his ability to tell the truth in certain instances. So again, when he relates to himself and he's going to make himself into a rasha, we don't believe him because then he will undermine his eidut. I mean, it's a circular, almost somewhat circular in reasoning, but if he makes himself a rasha, he's not an aid. If he's not an aid, he can't make himself a rasha. So therefore, we leave out that portion of the testimony and we say that we only believe him with regards to the other individual, where his Eidut stands and he doesn't make himself into a Rasha. And then when it comes to Pagin and Dibura, we say we divide up his words, right? We say, and this is what Rav is going to test out over here, how far does that go? And we're going to have a series of memorot from Rav that just expand on this idea of Pagin and Dibura, that we split his words. Now there's Machlokas, when we say we split his words, it's easy to say, for instance, in our case here, which is Ploni Rav Ani Lirtzoni. Right, so there's two statements there. One is that Ploni Ravani, and there's a second statement of Lirtzoni. So there it's easy to split the two statements, to say Ploni Ravani, that's an independent statement, Lirtzoni, we don't believe him. But where there are instances where this, it's in one statement, it's a single word, right, that indicts him and the other party. So if he says, Zinitiv, I was Mizaneh im Plonit. So in that case, the verb that he uses implicates himself and the other individual at the same time. So now, can you say Pagin and Dibura in that instance? Can you say Pagin and Dibura when it's the same word that is implicating both him and the other party? It happens to be Machlokas Der Ashpa And in Oda Biuda, where we allow you to split the words. The Rashi believes that's not the case. You cannot do it. Once the statement is a singular statement, then we don't allow you to divide up the statement anymore. The Oda Biuda says that even in that case, we say Palgina and Dibura. The other instances where it's a question about Palgina and Dibura has to do, first of all, things like Nemanut. Do we say a person's believed? For instance, if an Eid Echad comes and testifies to the fact that a woman was mizana tachat balo, that a woman had an extramarital affair when her husband was there, what's the status of this woman? Now, an Eid Echad is neman bi isurin. An Eid Echad is not neman when it comes to dinei mamonot. His testimony has an implication in both of those. If he comes along and says that this woman was mizana tachat balo, she's asura lebala. That's the first thing. She's not allowed to be with her husband anymore. That's isurin that he's believed with. Now, she also will lose her ktubah. If the statement is true, she will also lose her ktubah. That's dinei mamonos. Over there is he believed. So in this instance, we don't say palginim dibura by nemanut. When it comes to believability, when it comes to actually making a statement about one item that makes it a fact, once that fact is true, the implications of that fact have broader implications, and we don't say palgin and dibura. So in this case, for instance, an Eid Echad comes along and says that he's zanta tachet bala, then she will lose her ketubah. But that's, again, not because he's testifying about the mamonos aspect, but because he testified that she was mizana tachet bala, the implications of that are that she loses her ketubah. That's a pol yotze from the fact that he's believed by Isurim, then it affects mamonos. We don't say there, oh, he's believed by the Isur, he's not believed by the mamon. No. The fact that he's neman by the Isur automatically impacts the fact that he is neman by the mamon. The other case we have to question about Pagin and Dibura, for instance, is if Edim are Krovim, say you have a case of a loan. A case of a loan where Reuven lends money to Shimon, and Levi is the Arev, is the guarantor here. Now we have Edim that show up, and the Edim show up and say, listen, we saw the loan take place, and Levi is the guarantor. They say something about the loan. They are Krovim to Levi, but they're not Krovim to Reuven and Shimon. So over here you have a question. Do we say Palgin and Dibura by Nemanut? Again, by their believability. They cannot testify about Levi. So we know that because he's the Arev. But in regards to Reuven and Shimon, can they testify the fact that the loan is outstanding? Fine, they cannot testify to the fact that Levi is the Arev, but they can testify, possibly, that Reuven and Levi, that there's a loan outstanding. Because the fact that the loan's outstanding, right, has no impact on their testimony regarding Levi. That's nothing about Levi, that's about Reuven and Shimon. Right, that Levi is the Arev, that they're precluded from testimony. Do we say there, Pagid and Dibura? And there I think it's harder, I think we usually say by Nemanut, we usually do not say Pagid and Dibura. Because the believability, either you're believed about the whole structure of the whole item, but we don't say that you're believed about part and not believed about the other half when it comes to just nemanut, just being believed in general, rather than a question over here of Palgin and Dibura, where we can split up the statement of fact. That statement of fact, does that change? Here we have two parts of your statement, at least according to the Rashba, and even according to the Noda B'Yuda, there's two positions that you're taking, you're implicating two people. By the case of the Arev and the creditor and debtor, there it's a single statement that affects the whole part, all the parties involved. And all the parties involved is either you are believed or not believed. Over there, it's possible that we will not say Pagin and Dibura, because by definition, if you're Pagin and Dibura, he's not Neman. If he's not Neman, he can't be believed on the other half. Now, just a quick summary of Palgin and Dibura that Rav is now going to give us some more information about.
About in a loan, right? Right. I'm saying the loan didn't take place. I'm the borrower. He's telling me I borrowed money.
Right.
So I could bring an aid to join with me and say.
No, because there you know, Geva Davar. The fact that you say that will not allow you to pay back.
Geva Davar over here.
Because this is criminal law, it's not civil law. In criminal law, you're not no Geva Davar when it comes to the other individual. This has no implications for you whatsoever. I mean, you could argue that he would like to see this guy get into trouble, right?
Or right,
see
him get, making a claim on you.
But there's no personal benefit that it derives from this claim. Okay. All right. So now, Amar Rava, Ploni Baal Ishti, Huva Acher Mitzterfim Lahargo, Avalo Lahargo. Says so and so, right, had a extramarital affair with my wife. So again, over here, he came to Mitzterf with someone else. Lahargo, to kill the party that had the relationship with his wife, avodololahargah, but not to kill her. my kamashkulan. What are you coming to teach us? Right? Dimafalgina bidibura. That we split his testimony. Hainuach. That we already know that. We know that we split his testimony. That was the first statement that Rabbah taught us that. So why do we need another test? Why do we need another statement like this? Maldutenu adam karovetz alatzmo amrinan itzalishto lo amrinan. When it comes to adam karovetz alatzmo, that we say regarding to an individual himself, towards himself. When it comes to his wife, we don't say adam karovetz alishto. We don't say in that instance that that's enough to be posel him as an aid over here. Kamash Malon, that we still say that a person is enough, is classified as, you know, ishto kugufo, and therefore she's being karovetz alatzmo is also a karovetz alishto. And because of that, he is then precluded from testifying with regards to his wife. He's precluded from testifying with regards to his wife. Or again, we're going to be pagin and dibura. We'll split his testimony up and believe him with regards to the party, the other party here, the third party, but not with regards to his wife. So here we have Amar Rav Ploni Baal Naram Rasav Behuzmu. So if they come along and testify that they had an extramarital affair with a Naram Rasav, and then they're found to be Edim Zomim, Neragim Vein Mishalmim, they're killed and they don't pay. As Tzvi pointed out, but they don't pay here, because what Rashi says, which is, they didn't mention the woman. So there's nobody who's losing a ketubah here. They don't pay because there's no monetary obligation they were causing to someone else. What they do is they have to, they're put to death because they tried to put this individual to death for having an affair with a Nara Hamarasa. Right now, Mito Shoploni, if they identify the woman, Ve'uzmu, and then they're found to be Edim Zomim, Neragim, Umishalmim Mamon. Over there, they are put to death, and they pay the money. Why? Because Mamon Lazeh, Benefshot Lazeh. Again, the obligation to pay the money is separated from the death penalty, but the death penalty, it relates to the testimony about this woman and the other man. They're trying to put them to death, so they will be put to death. Right, so here, we know who the party is who's losing her ketubah, but again, it's not her who's losing the ketubah, it's her father, who is the owner of the ketubah of the Nara Murasa, and therefore it's almost like they testified about two individuals. They testified about the Nara Musa, and they testified about the father. Father loses the ketubah, and the Nara Murasa was being put to death. Then when they're found to be Zomimim, we're going to mechayev them on both aspects. On the aspect they're going to be put to death because of the Nara Murasa, and they have to pay the money to the father who loses out on the ketubah. So this is what we discussed yesterday. This idea that if the chiyuv derives, if the obligation derives from two parties, the obligation derives from two parties, then we don't say this idea of kimalei rabbi mei. Kimalei rabbi mei is only when it's a single party that causes both obligations, both the obligation of death and the obligation of money, or one action. One action that does it in terms of the one action by the single individual obligates himself. Over here, their action involved two different gufin. Since they have two different gufin, we say mamon lezev and afshot lezev. Now, yesterday, we earlier statement by the Edim Zomamim. There he says that if you have Edim come to testify to the fact that this Motzi Shemra comes along, this individual comes along and says, listen, this my wife, lo matzati betulim. I did not find betulim to my wife. He brings Edim to that fact. Those Edim are found to be Edim Zomamim. When they're found to be Edim Zomamim, we said over there that Edi Baal Neharagim Ve'im Shalmim Mamon. They are killed, but they don't pay money. Why? Because over there they are being killed and owe money for the same reason, which is that they testified about the Nara Murasa. When they testified about the Nara Murasa, over there they are trying to put her to death, and she loses her ketubah. So since they derive from the same woman, we say, they die for being Edim Zomim, but they don't pay money. But that's opposite of what we just said now. If you look here, Rashi says, V'lo pliga rava ad Rav Yosef. Why? Over there it says they don't pay mamon, and over here it says they do pay mamon. Why is that? Because the hatam came in the niseit, hanach tashlumim d'ktuba dida. Depends. If she gets married, when she gets married, then what? The money belongs to her. So once she is married, they're putting her to death, and the money payment belongs to her. That means both of them are nefesh echad. The reason that they are going to be killed is because they tried to put this Nara Murasa to death. The reason that they have to pay money to this Nara Murasa, right, is because they tried to make her lose her ketubah. But both of those are owed, or both of those are derivatives of the Nara Murasa. In the case where she's still a Nara Murasa, who does the money belong to? The ketubah belongs to the father. Because as long as she's a Nara Murasa, Kol Shevach Nura, the Beit Aviya, anything that belongs to Nara Murasa belongs to her father's house. So now we have two different parties here. One party is the Nara Murasa is going to be put to death because she had the extramarital affair, the ketubah that's going to be lost is going to be lost to the father. So now when they are found to be zomimim, they have to be killed because of the Nara Marasa, but they pay the money because of the father of the Nara Marasa, the money that's owed to the father. They were trying to cause him to lose the money by the ketubah, they have to pay up. So that's the difference over here. When Rav Yosef comes along and says here that the reason that when they say lebat ploni, right, when they come along and say bito shoploni, and then they're huzmo, they're naragim shomimamon, they're narag because they testified about the Nara Marasa and the other individual they had an affair, they're both put to death. So now they're going to be put to death because they lied about that. Now with regards to the ketubah, they were going to cause her to lose. It's not her loss, that's her father's loss. Her father's loss is a separate entity. When it comes to mamon, they're going to have to pay the mamon over there. So again, the difference between Rava and here is that where the status of Nara Marasa. She's still a Nara Marasa, the ketubah belongs to her father, and we have two parties. By Rava, where she already is married, and they're testifying about when she was a Nara Marasa. Over there, the loss of the ketubah is a loss to her, because she's already past the point of being a Nara Marasa. She's now currently married. And the Baal's making a claim that she, lo matzah bitulim. I didn't find bitulim, means that she had an affair while she was a Nara Marasa, but they're already married now. They're already nisait. So the money belongs to her. In that case, when the Edim come to testify, and they testify, they're testifying about her and her only. Because it's her ketubah, and it's her death penalty. So over there, the Edim will only be chayavim mita, but they will not be chayav the mamon. Right now, the next statement of Rabbah is Rama Rabbah Ploni Rabbah Ashur vehuzmu. His individual performed bestiality, and then they were found to be in edim zomimim. Naragim ve'im shalmim mamon. Right there again, they are put to death because they tried to put this individual to death for performing bestiality. They don't pay money again for the same reason, which is we don't know who the right, we didn't know who the owner of the short was. They didn't identify the owner of the short. They're just testifying about the individual who performed the act. Shoro Shoploni, if they identify who the short is, who the participant in this act of bestiality is, then Buzmu Neragim Mushomim Mamon. There they are put to death and they have to pay for the short. Why? Mamon Lazem, Nafshot Lazem. The loss of life, or the reason they're being put to death, or who they tried to kill, was the Roveya, the man who performed the bestiality. The shore who's going to be put to death is a loss of money to the owner of the shore, not necessarily doesn't necessarily have to be the same party. It's not, I mean, if it is the same party, maybe it would be different. But over here, where it's a different party who owns the shore, they're over there, they're going to be chayav the mamon, because they're going to cause him a loss. Right? That's the case, because it's mamon lezev and nafshot lezev. We can separate out between where they were trying to obligate. They were obligating one person for the bestiality, the other person was the owner of the shore. So Mar says, Hatu lamali. What do I need this for? Hainuach. That's the same as the last case we said before, which is, if you only identify one party, if you cause a loss to one party, you're chayav. If you cause a loss to two parties, then you're chayav on each of those parties. Shum to kabai bai aloi. Because Rava is about to ask a question, and wanted to ask a question about this. The bai Rava. Ploni Rava Shori. Person says, Ploni Rava Shori. This individual was Roveya my shore. Okay, now this comes back to possibly Pagin and Diburu Mau. What's the din? A person is classified as a karov when it comes to himself, but not with his own ownership, his own possessions. His possessions, he's not a karov. And therefore, when he says, ploni rava et shori, my shore, he's believed on both aspects of this. He's believed on the aspect that ploni rava, and he's believed on the fact that it's shori. There he's believed. Oh, dilma amrina adam karov et zomamono. That a person is karov etzel mamon. If he's karov etzel mamono, then we will pagin and dibura. Pagin and dibura in the sense that he'll believe that the individual performed the bestiality, but we will not believe about his own short, that he have to put him to death. He won't have to put him to death. So, but to the bayadar pashta, afterwards he was answered, adam karov etzel atzmo, ben adam karov etzel mamono. That a person is only a karov with regards to his own personal being, but he's not karov when it comes to his own money, linyan pagin and dibura. So therefore, in this case, it sounds like from this Gemara, that he would be able to implicate his shore. His own shore he would be able to implicate in this act, and the shore would, technically, if he brought another aid there, be put to death. It would be a shore in his skull. So if he comes with another aid, and he testifies both about this individual and about his own shore, the individual will be put to death, and the shore itself will be, what? He'll have to be, there'll also be in his skull, will be put to death. Even though we know from the Gemara in Temura, that if a Baal comes along and testifies about his own shore and says that that this shore was rova or nirba, that this shore is asur ligvoa, you can't bring it as a korban anymore, but it's not niskal. it isn't put to death. So why? Because this is either, the Rashi says, why is that different than our case over here? So Rashi says there's two possibilities why it's different. Either because in the case in Tmura, the Baal does not testify about who performed the act on the shore. So since he doesn't testify who performed the act on the shore, all he's doing is being oser the shore, ligvoa. He's not gonna, if he doesn't implicate a person in the act, then the shore itself is not gonna be put to death. Or, right, the other possibility there is that he doesn't have a second aid with him. He doesn't have another aid. So if he doesn't have another aid with him, then he can't put the shore is not niskal. So when he speaks by himself, when it's himself speaking, what he can do is oser the shore. Because Erechad Neman Bisurim, and he's not Karovitzel Mamono. So therefore, he can ask the shore to be brought as a karban. What he can't do is cause the shore to be put to death, because he needs a second aid to put the shore to death. Or, Rashi says, even if there are two Edim over there, the shore is not put to death, because until you identify the party, as Rashi suggests, that unless you identify the party who was Rovea or Nirba, the human party, then the shore is not Niskal. Shore Niskal is only when we know there was an action by a human being and you implicate the human being. So maybe the case in Tamar Rashi says even with two Edim here and another aid, but they didn't implicate anybody. If they didn't implicate anybody, the shore itself is not Niskal. So those are two possibilities Rashi says what's the difference between our Gemara and the Gemara in Tamura. Now we said Makot Bishlosha. When it comes to corporal punishment, right, the act of Makot, you need three. Menahani Mili, how do you know you need three? So Ravuna Marakra Bishafutum. Shafatum by the pasuk, right? Shafatum by the pasuk of by the pasuk of Makot. So shafatum shnayim. That means two, because it's in the plural, right? Then ve'ed beit din shakul. We don't have an even beis din, because then you can have a tie. Mosifin alei morachad ve'rikan shlosha. So that is the. Then you have three. Elam ato. You want to start using words, verbs from the parsha of Makot. Let's go. V'itztiku, shnayim, v'yirshiu, shnayim, harikan shiva. If you're going to use every plural verb in the parsha of Makot, then you have shaftum, itztiku, hirshiu, you're up to six. Add one, you can't have bezin shakul, you're up to seven. Somebody says, no, how will we buy like the ula? Those words we need from ula. Damar ula, rem is the idim zomimina Torah minayin. How do you know that idim zomimim get, are punished mina Torah? It says, remez, leidim zomimim. What do you need a remez for? Va'aktiv. It's an explicit pasuk. Kasher zamam. Lasok, right? I mean, you don't need a hint. Leidim zomimim are explicit pasuk in the Torah. El remez leidim zomimim shlokim minayin. How do we know that leidim zomimim get malkut? How do we get malkut? What? In cases where there is no kasher zamam lasot, for instance, they testify about a kohen that he's a bat grusha, bat chalutza. So if they're Israel, even if they're kohenim, we don't do it. We don't make them into a grusha and chalutza. You can't do that. You know, it doesn't infect them. They don't change the status. What's the punishment there? We give them malkot. Where do we know that from? So that's what Ula says. That's hinted to at this in this pasuk. Why? Dichtiv itztiku et tzadik v'yirshiu et rasha. So wait a minute. Mishum v'itztiku et tzadik v'yirshiu et rasha. Because Edim came along and made the one who was righteous, they made him right. And the one who was a rasha, they made him into a rasha. They obligated him. Right, and then it says, "Vayah and bin hakota rasha." So then, if the rasha is a bin hakota, they're going to punish him. El, doesn't make any sense because they made the innocent innocent. Therefore, the rasha is a rasha and is going to get malkot. What does that mean? Ella, edim shehirshiu et tzadik. We had a set of witnesses that came along, and they obligated or they implicated someone who was innocent. Vatuei de'achrine. And then new edim come along, v'itztiku et tzadik demi ikaro. They come and rectify the situation by making the innocent party innocent. How do they do that? Right? V'shamvinu lahanuch rishayim. Who are they making to rishayim? The edim. The first set of edim they make into rishayim, because now they are edim zomim. They're coming along and they're making the first set into edim zomimim. So they are matzdik et tzadik. How are they matzdik? Is that the innocent party is now made innocent by their testimony. They are implicating the edim who testified against him because they testified falsely. They manuayitem. Vayayim bin hakot rasha. Therefore, if the rishayim, these edim zomimim, cannot be given the punishment kasher zamam, then we say vayim bin hakot rasha. They're given malkut. So that is the idea. That's a hint in the Torah to the fact that edim zomimim get malkut. Now, once you've used v'itztiku et tzadik v'yirshiu et rasha for that limud, the only thing that's left over for makot, plain makot, is v'shaftum. V'shaftum, and in that case, you have two plus one is three, and that's why you get three by makot. Gemara says, v'tipik leim lo tane. Right, so wait, why do you need another pasuk of Malkut? You have that, right? You're not allowed to testify falsely. Why isn't that enough to make the Malkut for Edom Zomim? What do I need Malkut from Vayayin Bin Hakot Rasha? It says, Meshum Davalei Lav Shein Bo Masa. Lo Ta'anez Alav Shein Bo Masa. Chol Lav Shein Bo Masa in Lokin Alav. We don't get punished for Lav Shein Bo Masa. So if it's a lav shein bo masa, that is not something that can implicate them for malkot. So I need a special pasuk by Vayayin Bin Hakot Rasha that teaches us, even though that general, this is generally a lav shein bo masa, by Edom Zomim it's an exceptional case that they will get malkot, even though there is a lav shein bo masa. Over here, even though the Edom Zomim also are testifying, and also the same problem of Lotem Erech Eid Shecher is that it's all about testimony, nevertheless, Edom Zomim is a chiddush in the Torah, that even though it's a lav shein bo masa, you still get malkot, because it says Vayayin Bin Hakot Rasha. Explicitly says that that's the punishment, is malkot. So that we learn out from the pasuk. But just from a stam lav, a lo tanev, a chaker, you cannot learn out malkot, because that's a lav shein bo masa.
So all the lav in the Torah that has to do with cursing chasfila, kodesh baruch hu, or one's parents, those also don't get punished corporally?
Yes. But that is that might be for a different reason, which Tosfos points out here. Tosfos points out there's another way to say your punt over here, which is a lav shnitan lasarat mitat bedin. Anything that can lead to a death penalty, there's an opinion, right, that says that any lav that is just a warning towards a death penalty, you don't get malkut for that. So that's another possibility. Lav shnitan lasarat mitat bedin also doesn't get it. So in those cases that you're mentioning, that's a lav shnitan lasarat mitat bedin. Those are violations that will end up in a death penalty. Violations that end up in a death penalty, you don't get malkut for those. So they could be from both perspectives. They're also a lav shein bo masa, and they're also a lav shenitan lazer beit din. So from both perspectives, they are right not necessarily given malkot, because there is Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda believes that lav shein bo masa is lokin alav. And so if he believes that, then he has to come up with another reason why in certain these instances you won't get malkot, because it has to be something where it's lav shenitan lazer beit din. All right? So now, the Gemara says, Mishum Rishmala Mo Be'esrim B'shlosha. Rishmala disagrees and says, Mako get 23. My time, the Rabbi Shmuel. What's the reason behind Rabbi Shmuel? Merabai, Acher Rasha Mechayvei Mitot. It's a Gzer Shova from Chayvei Mitot. K'tiv Ha'chavaya Im Bin Hakot HaRasha. So there's the word Rasha by Malkot. K'tiv Ha'tam, Asher Hu Rasha Lamot. Right, by the Parsha of the Rotzeach, it says, Asher Hu Rasha Lamot, Rasha, it's a Gzer Shova. Malahala and Besim Shlosha, by the death penalty, we know for sure is 23. Avkan, by corporal punishment, he gets Esrim Shlosha. Rava Amar is an unbelievable statement of Rava, Malkot Bimkom Mita Omedet. Malkot replace Mita. Malkot are another form of death penalty. Corporal punishment is not a separate category from Skila, Hereg, Henek. It's just a fifth category of the death penalty. There's Skila, Hereg, Henek, and Sreifa. And there's also Malkot. Those are the five categories of death penalty. Malkot is just a different death penalty. So now you have to say, what does that mean? What does that mean? So Rashi says over here, it's very interesting. Tosfos and Rashi have to deal with. All right, what does that mean that it's a death penalty? So Rashi over here says, it's unbelievable statement. He says, Malko bimkom mita umedet. So third widest line in Rashi says, Dekevan davar azarat bur'o ra'ui hu lamut. You violate the decree of the king, you deserve to die. When it comes to a human king, you violate the decree of the king, you're put to death. So over here, you're put to death. Umita zu kanas alava katuf. And this is the mita that was chosen by the pasuk for you. It's like one of the other mitot out there. So Rashi says that ein ochanami, that you, it's a death penalty because you violated the word of the king. And this is the execution over here is malkot. That's the punishment that the Torah picks as the execution of that death penalty. Tosis over here suggests, it's the last Tosis on the Yomud, malkot tachem mita umeret. Yesh mefarshim. There's some that say the reason this is true is mishum zibnei noach azaratan hu zuhi mitatan. That when it comes to Bnei Noach, when they have a lav, their lav, they're put to death for it. So Tosfos is not viewing it as literally a death penalty. Rashi is viewing it much, much more so as this is a death penalty. And Malkot are just another form of death penalty. Tosfos says no, that we've seen in other instances that a lav leads to a death penalty, like by Bnei Noach. So the same, by a lav, by Bnei Noach is put to death by a Jew, what's the punishment that is afforded to them? Is makot. So because of that, there's some sort of equation of makot equals mita. Lord, he goes mikta because the same lav or the same lav by Bnei Noach would end up with a death penalty, and by a Jew will end up with makot. So the fact that one gets death penalty, one gets makot, says that there's some sort of equation that says makot equal mita. But not literally that makot is a replacement for mita, but there's some equation because they're the same, they're the punishment for the same lav. The other possibility is, again, the same idea here, that sometimes a person passes away from makot. So again, he's not willing to state, as far as Rashi is saying that it's a mita, that is, it's a death penalty. Tosus over here says it's in place of a death penalty, or he's saying that over here there's a possibility you could die even though it's not a death penalty. It's the type of punishment. By money, if you owe money to someone, you're not going to die from paying them the money when you're implicated. If you get makot, there's a possibility in corporal punishment that a person will die from the makot. So that is why it's like equivalent, it's like mita. So it's interesting that Rashi was much more so, took it literally. Makot equals mita. Tosfos is saying, no, it's an equation of sorts. It's not that it's literally mita, but it has implications that are like mita, because sometimes other people would be put to death in this case, or because you could die from it. But not literally that makot are a mita. So it's very, a very interesting difference between Rashi and Tosfos' explanation of Rava's position. So, Omar Rav Acha, by the way, it's similar to a concept that we have in Shabbos. In Shabbos, the Gemara talks about chavalah. Over there, Rabbeinu Tam has a position by Chavalah. What is the Isser by Chavalah? What is the Isser by Chavalah by Shechita? So there, it says, "Mali Chavalah b'mixas, Mali Chavalah b'kulo." Right, that's the Rabbeinu Tam's position. Is what's the difference if I chovel ba'adam or I'm chovel or I kill them? It's just a big Chavalah. So it's over here. You could have argued the same thing over here. Makot and mita, right, are the same form. What is if I chovel adam? I'm choveling him to the point where he goes, he dies. I mean, that the two are a, it's just a more extreme form. Makot is really a chavalah, and mita is just a big, big chavalah. So you could say the same thing over here, right? That's why makot are a derivative or a part and parcel are the same as being mita. Right, so Amar Ravacha Brei the Rav, the Ravashi Ihachi. Right, if this is the case, if Rav is really right, that makot are really for mita, umdana lomali. Why do I have to assess how many makot a person can handle? Right? Lemechia. Hit him. He might limot. If he dies, he dies. I mean, if it really is a death penalty, let him die. Right, so Amalei, Amar Kral, the Pasuk says, Vikla achicha le'enecha. Right, that you'll be hit. Achicha le'enecha. Ki mechiat, agavat echayim mechiat. When you hit him, you gotta hit a live person. It says, v'nikla achicha le'enecha. He's gotta be achicha, means that he's alive. You gotta hit him while he's still alive. So, okay. You have to hit him as long as he's alive, then it's considered makot. If he's dead, it's not makot anymore. So, lohad the tanya, oh, what about the price? Amdua le kabela stream. They come, the doctors give the assessment, they can handle 20 makot. Ein makot dino toa le makot ariot lishtalish. You're only allowed to give him makot that are divisible by three. That's due to the fact that we give him one in front, two in the back. Right? So it has to be something that's divisible by three. So what is the nearest number that's divisible by three? Is 21. That would mean they have to add one on. Over there, Kamehain, Tamne, sorry, you only give him 18. So we round down and not up. Why are we rounding down to 18 and not rounding up to 21? So what are you going to tell me? The reason we don't round up to 21 is because if you hit him on the 21st time, he's going to be dead. Right? So he's going to kill him. Well, that's not a problem. Hit him 21 times. He dies on the last hit. That's fine. You hit him 20 times, he was alive. On the 21st time that you hit him, he was alive when you hit him. He only died from the hit. That means you've accomplished it. You hit him 21 times while he's alive, and then he died from that 21st hit. No problem. So when it says, because he's hitting him on a live person. Samalei, Amakra, Parsik says, Vikna, Vinikla, Achicha, Le'enecha. Achashlaka, Achicha, Be'inam, Veleka. It says that it has to be Vinikla, and then Vinikla afterwards, he's Achicha, Le'enecha. That he's still Achicha after you hit him. The only way he can be Achicha after you hit him is if he's still alive. If he's dead, there's no Achicha left after Vinikla. So the requirement is not only that it's a live person that is hit, there's a requirement that the person who's hit still be alive after he's hit. So that, in fact, makes it that we assess before we give the makot that the person survives the makot. So again, from the havamina of the Gemara, it sounds much more like Rashi, which is that put him to death means put him to death, literally. The maskona of the Gemara, which is that we give him makot and we try to ensure that he's alive at the end, sounds a little more like Tosfos, which is that he might die from the makot. We don't try to create a situation where he will die from the makot. We try to keep him alive. The whole pasuk requires that he's alive. So if he has to be alive, then how do you call it mita? So that's not like Tosu. Tosu says that it's like the death penalty by Bnei Noach. Where here, he could die from the makot. So So again, the flow of the Gemara favors Rashi and Tosfot, depending on where you are in the right along the flow of the Gemara, whether it's the Amin or the Maskana. It's not Mukhrach, but I'm just saying it favors the way the Gemara flows. It favors one over the other in each aspect. Right? Ibra Chodesh B'Shlosha. Tzimim Abra the Chodesh, you need three. Chishuv Boktani. It doesn't say to calculate whether you should be Abra the Chodesh. And Kiddush Boktani. It doesn't say to be Kadesh the Chodesh. Ela Ibur. Only if it's an Iber. Iber Chodesh means what? There's a two possibilities about a calendar or lunar month. It's either 29 days or it is 30 days. Iber Chodesh means that it's a 30-day Chodesh. Iber means that we keep it, we make it a full Chodesh, make it into a 30-day. So it says, well, dekatsha, do nothing. Right? Umemela alaber. And it'll become Kadosh by itself. Why? There are only two possibilities of what of how long a month is. It's 29 or 30. If 29 days is not the way you made the Chodesh, you're not Mekadesh the Shloshim to be the first of the next month, then automatically the 31st day will be the next month. It's not going to be that, oh, based in just, oh, you know what, guys, we're going to be quiet this month. We won't say anything. And the month will be 31 days. That doesn't happen. The month automatically ends when you hit 30 days. So what do you need them to do now? To me'aber the chodesh, why do you need a based in at all? It's not necessary. Some rabbi says, no problem, tzni kiddush ha-chodesh. It's not ibra chodesh. Change the word, it's kiddush ha-chodesh. You want to be mekadesh chodesh, you need a based in of three. Alright, so Nadia Namiochi, Kiddush HaChodesh, V'Ibur HaShana B'Shlosha, Divi Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says you require, for Kiddush HaChodesh you require three, and for Ibur HaShana you require three. But that implies for Ibur HaChodesh you do not require three. It's only Kiddush HaChodesh. So that's why you need three. So Amar Rava says, wait a minute, let me tell you something. Abaye, V'Hai Ibur Ketani. The Mishnah says Ibur. It doesn't say Kiddush. Now when you say Chasuri Mechzera, or if you say there's one letter, a little mix up in the word, he's saying you used the wrong word entirely. You used Ibur instead of Kiddush. That's a big mistake. That's not the type of mistake we expect from a Tana that we're going to say we're going to amend the Mishnah. Rava says, no way. Elam Rava, Kiddush B'Yom, Ibur, right, B'Shlosha. Achara Ibur, like a Kiddush. So that's if you're doing Kiddush B'Yom Ibur. What does it mean, B'Yom Ibur? It's the 30th day of the month, and you're being Mekadesh the new Chodesh. So on the day that could have been the Ibur, you're Mekadesh the Chodesh, you make it the first of the new month, then you require Shlosha. Achar Ibur, if it's already after, right, the 30th day, then I'm Mekadesh, then automatically the 31st day is like a Kiddush. There's no necessity for Kiddush. So that the Rabbi is saying is, all Rabbi is saying is that it's indicating the day on which they are Mekadesh the Chodesh. Ibur HaChodesh doesn't mean they are Ma'abar the Chodesh. It means that they are Mekadesh the Chodesh on the day that could have been the Ibur HaChodesh. It's just identifying the location of the Kiddush HaChodesh, not identifying what is happening here. So that's the way Rabbi explains it. Umani. And who's this like? This is like Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Tzadok. Tanya Rabbi Lazar and Tzadok Omer. Im lo nir ena nir ebiz mano, im mekadshin oto. If they didn't see it on its proper time, we are not mekadesh it. Shekvar kitshua b'shamayim. It already happens in the heavens. I mean, the kvar kitshua b'shamayim means that we don't need any interference from the human interference because it's automatically nitkadesh b'shamayim. Tosu says, what does that mean? Shekvar kitshua b'shamayim. The first Tosu here says, Yesh Meshadim b'din shomal mekadeshin oto l'olam b'shat ha-molad. The basin always does it at the time of the molad. Ve'nira. Dimkei mizmano nami kvar kitshua b'shamayim. That's true that even when it's on the 29th, they already kiddushu b'shamayim because they did it at the proper time. Ella, what no, he says, imkein, right? So what does Ella Nira compare to Kunchus in Rosh Hashanah? That b'yom shloshim mamtinim beizdin. On the 30th day, beizdin shomala waits and waits and waits and waits to see what beizdin shomata is going to do. If they're going to mekadesh this as the first day of the next month or not. Once they saw that it didn't, shem yabru, aval yom shloshim be'echad, once they reached the 31st day, shiyef shosol kiddushu ayom mekadesh nato b'shamayim b'shachar. Right away in the morning, they're Mekadesh it. Now, Tosus over here says something interesting. He says, Mekadesh noto min ha shachar. So what does that mean? That's the question here. When we say kidshin oto b'shamayim, that they're Mekadesh it in the shamayim, what does that really mean? Does it kidshin oto min ha shamayim just mean that automatically the 31st day is Rosh Chodesh? And kidshin oto min ha shamayim is just a way to say that the 31st day is Rosh Chodesh because there's nothing else that it could be. There's no other choice anymore. It's Kiddush HaChodesh. Or does it mean that the 31st day is Nitzkadesh Ayyidei Bezdin Shomala? I mean, that we don't need the Bezdin Shomata. The Bezdin Shomala already does. Like Joseph is saying over here, Bashachar, Bezdin Shomala comes and is Mekadesh the Chodesh. What's the difference? What's the implication for that? That has to do with 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. When we have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, we say, for instance, if a person misses or forgets to say Yala V'Yavo at night, does he have to repeat? Does he have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei? And there we say no. Why? Because Beis Din is Ein Mekadesh Noto Balayla. So since there can't be Kiddush HaKodesh at night, you're not, Yalav V'Yavo, it's not really applicable, it's not really Me'ena Ma'ora until you reach the daytime. So if it's one day of Rosh Chodesh, or the first day of a two-day Rosh Chodesh, over there we say you don't have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei. What happens on the second night of a Rosh Chodesh, a two-day Rosh Chodesh, which means that it's a Ibur Chodesh, it's a two-day Rosh Chodesh, means that it's a 30-day month, and the first day is going to be Rosh Chodesh automatically. Ah, what does that mean to Kidshua B'Shamayim? If you say like Vatosu Zovir Kidshu B'Shamayim is that Beis Din sits down in a Shachar in Shamayim and makes it Kodesh HaChodesh, then the same thing will apply. You won't have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei at night. Why? Because Beis Din Shamala is Mekadeshit. What does it mean Beis Din Shamala? They sit down like a Beis Din, and in the morning they're Mekadeshit. So if they're Mekadeshit in the morning, that means that also at night it's not Nitkadesh. So over there you won't have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei. On the other hand, if you believe that Kidshu B'Shamayim is just a another way of saying it automatically becomes Rosh Chodesh, that means at night it's already Rosh Chodesh. If it's already Rosh Chodesh at night, you'd have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei, which comes out to be a Machlokas HaRishonim. Machlokas HaRishonim, whether on that night, when it's the second night of Rosh Chodesh, or on a two-day Rosh Chodesh, whether you have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei or not. When it's Kidshua B'Shamayim, do you require to, is it already Nitzkadesh from the moment the Rosh Chodesh comes in, or is it Nitzkadesh only like Vatos is there in the Shachar? We are, right, we're Choshish for the Shita. It says that it's only in the morning, and therefore we do not repeat it, because it's a suffix over here. It's a suffix, Meino Ma'ora, suffix Rabbanon, it's a suffix Derem Rabbanon. We don't repeat Shemoneh Esrei. But that, exactly what Tosus discusses over here about Shachar, what it means that Kidshu B'Shamayim has implications for when you have to repeat Yalav V'Yavo or you don't have to repeat Yalav V'Yavo. Alright, now, there's a third opinion here about Rav Nachman Amar, Kiddush Achar Ayibur B'Shlosha. Kiddush HaKodesh only happens, you only need Kiddush Beis Din when it's the 31st day. B'Yom Yibur, like a Kiddush. On the day itself, the 29th day, if it's the 30th day that you're going to make it to the first of next month, there you don't need Kiddush. It's the exact opposite we just said. Umano, who's the author of Mani, who's the Palimo here? It's Palimo. The Tanya Palimo, Mer. The Zamanu in Mekadshinoto. But that it's time, we're not Mekadshit. Shalom is Manu Mekadshinoto. But it's not its time, we are Mekadshit. So what Palimo basically is saying is that the argument here is what is the default month? What is a default lunar month? So before we were suggesting, according to Rabbi Tzadok, the default lunar month is 30 days. That's the default. Why? Because it requires no intervention on Yidei Beis Din. The intervention on Yidei Beis Din, that is not the default. There they have to be Mekadesh to Chodesh. What Palimo is suggesting over here, the default month is 29 days. A default month is a lunar month of 29 days. If Beis Din wants to change that and make it into the 30-day month, they're going to have to be Mekadesh to Yom Shlushim Ve'achad. So that's what it means, Ibra Chodesh B'Kiddush HaKodesh. Palimo is the author of our Mishnah, because he's the one who requires only Kiddush when you move from the default of 29 days to a 30-day month. So that's why it says, Ibra Chodesh B'Shlosha. Rav Ashi, now we have a fourth opinion. Amar the Olam Chishuv K'tani. It really means Chishuv. Umay Ibur. Chishuv the Ibur. It means that they have to calculate. The calculation of whether they should be Ma'abra the month or not, right, is something that's to be done by a Beis Din of Shlosha. And why do they say Ibur? Because that's the calculation that they're doing. They're calculating whether it should be an Ibur Chodesh or not be an Ibur Chodesh. So that's what the question is here. V'aydin kabay l'midnei Ibur Shana. So why didn't it not say Chishuv? Then write Chishuv HaChodesh. Why are you writing Ibur HaChodesh? Because the next line in the Mishnah is Ibur HaShana. So Taninam Ibur HaChodesh. It used a parallel Lashon between Shana, which clearly Ibur HaShana is what you need the Beis Din for. So Chishuv HaChodesh in Kiddush HaChodesh Lo. So based on what Rav Ashi is suggesting over here is that you only need a Beis Din to calculate what the, right, whether it should be an Ibur HaChodesh or not. But Kiddush HaChodesh you do not need. Who's that? Rabbi Lezer. That's Rabbi Eliezer. What does Rabbi Eliezer say? Ben bezmano, ben shlo muzmano, ein mekadshin oto. There is no such thing as kiddush ayudei Beis Din for Rosh Chodesh. Why? Shnemar v'kashtem et shnat ha-chamishim shana. When does Beis Din get involved in being mekadosh? That's when it comes to shnat ha-chamishim, comes to the yovel. That means when it comes to years. Shanim ata mekadesh v'yata mekadesh chodoshim. You are mekadosh years, but not months. That means Beis Din is not involved in being mekadosh the chodoshim whatsoever. So that would be the opinion, that's Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi's suggestion to the author of Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer, who says there's no necessity for Kiddush HaChodesh whatsoever. Alright, the last thing we'll discuss today, which is Ibur HaShana. Ibur HaShana will begin with today, and then we will only get to it, really finish it off tomorrow. So it says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shlosha, you begin the Ibur HaShana with 3, then you move to 5, and then you move to 7. So Mar says, Tanya, Ketzer Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. How does Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, what is the case in which Rabbi Gamliel says, B'shlosha matchilin, begin with 3, Chamisha nosim notnim, they debate, or they consider the possibility of being ma'abir al-chodesh with five, v'gomrim b'shiva, and they make the decision with seven. How does this work? Echad amar, so this is how it works. Echad amar leishev, v'shnei marim l'shelo leishev. One of the bezin, a bezin of three, one of them says, let's think, we have to do the calculation, we have to think about being ma'abir al-shana, and two say no. But tell yachid b'miuto. The yachid doesn't count, and they don't sit about it. They don't sit down. It's over. There's no more discussion. Shnei marim leishev, echad amar l'shelo leishev. Two of them say, let's consider Ibur Shana, and one of them says, no, we don't need to consider it. Then Mosifin Alein Odechad, then the two win, and we say that they have to go ahead and think about whether they're Ma'abir Shana. Mosifin Alein Odechad, we add two more. Nosim Nodim Badabar, right, they consider the possibility of being Ma'abir Shana, they do the calculations, they deliberate whether they should be Ma'abir Shana with these five. So now, what's the conclusion? Shnai Momim Tzricha, Shlosha Omim Inet Tzricha. Three say we don't need a Ibur Shana, we don't need a leap year. Two say we do need a leap year. Then Batlu Shnayim B'miutan. The two are gone, and we don't discuss them anymore. We don't discuss it anymore. Shlosha Omim Tzricha, Ushnayim Omim Inet Tzricha. Three say we need a leap year. Two say we don't need a leap year. Mosifim Aleihem Od Shnayim. We add an additional two over here. Shehein Aminyan Pachot Mishivaah. You can't be Ma'abir l'Shana with less than seven. So that's how you get from 3, 5, 7. It's a continuum of discussion about whether they have to make it into a leap year. Each time you decide that the first question is, do we even have to deliberate? If you say yes, you have to go to 5 to deliberate. If the deliberations end up that you have to make a leap year, you need 7 to actually make it into a leap year. So the Gemara wants to know, Ani shlosh chamish v'shiva keneged mi? Where does he come up with this 3, 5, and 7? So pligava Rabbi Yitzchak v'nachmeni v'chad imei umanu Rabbi Shimon Pazi. Machloka is between Rabbi Yitzchak Meir and Nachmeni and Rabbi Shimon Pazi. Amila, it's Rabbi Shimon Pazi v'chad mimei. Rabbi Shimon Pazi, I'm one with him. Who's that? Rabbi Yitzchak Meir and Nachmeni. Chad amar k'neged birkat kohanim. That's with birkat kohanim, which is the first pasuk is 3 words, second pasuk is 5 words, third pasuk is 7 words, 3, 5, and 7. Chad amar shlosha k'neged shomrei asaf. Those are k'neged the shomrei asaf, who are the parts of the princes or the guards of the melech. Ramisham roei pnei melech, and the 5 people that say pnei melech. And the 7 that roei pnei melech. So Rashi says one of the sources for that. One is by Tzidkiyahu. When it comes to Galut and Bezeradin, over there it says that they were chamisha roei pnei melech, right? And they were gimel shomrei asaf in the psukim and melachim. So over there we say that's 3 and 5. And where did the shiva roei pnei melech? That is in Yonah Deyoma in Megillat Esther by Chashveirosh. That's what Rashi says. That's why you get 3, 5, and 7. Why? What is all this about? The last line of Rashi. Ve'ibur shana mitachsisei malchut shemayim hu. Being ma'abir l'shana is like the kingdom of heaven. It's like being involved in the kingdom of heaven. Leshev seder shanim amechonam. To put the years back in their place, to establish them. I mean, that this has such implications. Ibur shana is something that's really up to God. When you talk about the cycles of the years, you might have a solar year and a lunar year. And here where you're trying to reconcile between a lunar year and a solar year, that's something that's mi'ein, right? Mi'ein tachsisei shamayim. It's like something that's done in the kingdom of heaven. So the fact that you're trying to reconcile and you change basically the whole calendar by ma'abir l'shana, that's something like a kingdom of heaven. So therefore we act or we do something that has similarities to the way of kingdom of heaven. So it's either, 3, 5, and 7 because of these are princes or tachsisei amelech, the way that kings have their advisors. So there we have 3, 5, and 7. Or the Birkat Kohanim, which is 3, 5, and 7 when it comes to the way Kodesh Baruch Hu interacts with the world and gives bracha to the world, he uses 3, 5, and 7. So the same idea here. It's 3, 5, and 7. Tosus disagrees. Says, I don't know where, but why would we ever do something like Machay Paras? So one thing is Machay Yisrael. Machay Paras? Well, what does 7 have to do with us at all? So he disagrees and he says that in the end of Yirmiyahu, there's a Shiva Anashim Merei Pnei HaMelech. So over there, since there's 7 at the end of Yirmiyahu, and not 5, like it's at the end of Malachim, therefore we have 3, 5, and 7. He's not willing to accept that it's Malchut Parasu Madai, that we determines what Tachsitei HaMelech are. But you could understand what Rashi is saying, is that we're just looking for something that looks like a kingdom, or degrees of a kingdom. So we've looked for what kingdoms do. So 7 is a number that we see by kings. Right. Now, Tani Rav Yosef, Hani Shlosha V'Chamisha V'Shiva, Shlosha K'neged Shomrei Asaf, Chamisha Merei Pnei HaMelech, Shiva Roei Pnei HaMelech. By the Rav Yosef, Adne Idna, my time alo parish lan mar hachi. How come you didn't tell us until now that was the reason for the 3, 5, and 7? He says, Amalo, lova yadano, the tzrichitu. I didn't know you didn't know. He says, mi bayutu mi nai milta v'lo amilucho. When did you ever ask me something that I didn't answer? You ask, you get an answer. You don't ask, I assume you know. So you have to ask questions in order to get the answers. Okay, we'll step over here.